Hey everyone, my name is Reeves, and I want to talk to you about my side hustle. Now, when I say this, I want to kind of take you back in time for a bit, because I've done a few videos as well as some podcasts where I've talked about the dangers of a side hustle and how that could impact your main business if that's what you're trying to get going and you're using your side hustle to basically augment you and provide you some predictable revenue while you're kind of making the transition. Now, I've had a few people ask me, but you've never talked about your side hustle. Like, what was going on? How did it impact you? And you've kind of done it in an overview type of way. So I said, well, let me have one where I explain kind of what was happening. Okay, so kind of take a moment here. This is back in 2007. I am at the point where I have made the decision that I am going to open up my own law firm. I was in an interesting, and let me just be clear, really jamming situation, meaning I didn't have any money at all. Now, some of you are going to sit here and go, wait a minute, so you decided to open up your own business with no money? No, I had no money at all. I was in this weird situation where I was kind of at a very tough crossroads at the place that I was working. And my wife basically told me, put up or shut up, you know, because it was at the crossroad where I was trying to reevaluate, should I dedicate myself to making working for my job a thing? Like really commit to say, okay, I'm going to really make it. So I'm going to try my best to become a partner for this organization. Or am I going to open up my doors and do my own thing? And my wife basically said, listen, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, if this is something you want to do, do it. Stop farting around. So I was in a great spot in terms of she was working. She had a steady job. I think she was, I want to say she was working for the state at the time. We had a house and we had, and it's interesting because we had just bought the house. The house we were in, we had been in probably not even a little over a year and a half. So, of course, I'm being all paranoid because I'm thinking, okay, we still have a mortgage to pay. The mortgage we got was based on both of our incomes. I am making more than she is, and now here we're in this situation. But, of course, you know, my wife is not, you know, she's fearless. So she's like, what's the worst could happen? I'm like, oh, okay, I'm thinking all kinds of things can happen. So I decide to roll the dice and do this and to go out and kind of start my own law firm. The problem that I had is that I knew that one part of the thing that I did was I had to agree for the most part that I would allow the other firm to notify the clients that I was leaving the firm. And so I was in this situation where because of that, I wasn't taking anybody with me. You know, for those of you who are not familiar with how law firms work, one of the concerns that some firms have whenever their attorneys leave is that invariably clients have relationships, not necessarily with firms, but the attorneys. And so some firms worry that if you leave their firm, the clients will follow you. Well, in my interest, you know, I was not interested in creating a situation where I was encouraging them to follow me because I was opening up my own law firm. So effectively, it was kind of this joint type of letter where we're saying I'm leaving the firm. Didn't really dictate what I was actually going to be doing or anything like that. And I went my separate ways. And so I literally was going someplace where I was going to be completely on my own. I got lucky because one of my fraternity brothers had his own law firm and he had a big office building. And so he had a spare office that he would allow me to use for free. So I didn't have to worry about rent. Didn't have to worry about a phone. And he allowed me to share his secretary just for the purpose, his reception is actually for purposes of answering my calls. So that was awesome as well. My problem was that we're in a situation where my income was going to disappear completely. So I had a few extra gigs that my firm allowed me to take on right as I was walking out the door. And as I was leaving the firm, it worked out so that I would get a couple of more dollars on the way out. So I was getting my paycheck. I had one more paycheck that was coming in. And then I did like four or five jobs for them that they paid me per case. And so that ended up being a couple extra dollars. At that point, it was done. And so what I did was I decided to figure out, I said, okay, I got to find something that I could do. I had actually taught as an adjunct professor for a paralegal study program at another small university previously, before I went out on my own. And so I decided to research to see if I could find a place I could do it. And as fate would have it, I lucked up and I applied to a variety of schools. And one of those schools was Colorado Technical University Online. So this was an awesome opportunity for me to be able to get me some additional revenue coming in. And this way I could, it in my mind, it worked out perfectly. Because the way it worked was this. Their semesters weren't like the typical semesters that we think of, spring, fall, and summer. Theirs was like 5-week block semesters. It was the weirdest thing. So what would happen is you have a 5-week course, and basically what they did is you basically went to school year round. So as opposed to there being a summer break and there's a reduction in classes, or maybe there's a break between where last classes are done in May and then they kick up the summer session in June and then they get done by the end of July and then there's another break and then it starts in September. Theirs was literally a year-round program. So I was literally teaching for the entire year. So what would happen is I would teach for 5 weeks and then there would be like this week in between each class, each semester, which was awesome. So the way they worked is I actually got the opportunity to get a block. They basically paid me per class. So ideally, from a financial standpoint, I don't remember all the dollars amount in terms of nuts and bolts. Ideally, what would happen is for me to really be okay, I needed to teach at least 2 classes. 3 classes put me very close to what I was making per month in terms of when I was working, in terms of amount of revenue. So here it was, I had this balance where the way it would start is this. I had to go through a training. They kind of got me acclimated because I had a virtual classroom. I had a virtual office, you know, virtual classroom, so I could do presentations. I was chatting with the students and everything. It was awesome. And what would happen is I would literally get access to the class about 2 to 3 days before the class starts. I got all my materials set up in terms of PowerPoint presentation. They gave me all the electronic materials that the people would be learning from so I could review them and make sure. And I basically taught the same block of classes, so I just had to refresh my information. And then I was rocking and rolling. I had to teach, I think if I remember correctly, at least 2 times per week. So I would have like, you know, hour-long classes. So I would teach like on like, there was a minimum number of hours I had to teach. So I would teach like, you know, a Tuesday night and a Thursday night. And they had assignments every week. These weren't assignments that I created. These were assignments that the school created. So they had to be turned in within a specific date. I had to grade them within a specific date. And then so that this way the students could get the responses back. So if the assignments were due on Friday, I had to have them graded and completed by the following Sunday, by that Sunday. So it was like they turned it on Friday, by close of business on Sunday, like by midnight, they had to be done. That was my rotation. And then I'd start my classes again, rolling up for that next week. So literally what would happen is it'd be a 5-week class semester. There'd be 5 assignments due, basically one every week. And then at the end of the semester, what would happen is that last assignment, after I got through grading it, I would have like a three-day break, and then I would roll into the next semester. So under this scenario, I never stopped teaching. Now, what would happen is I would have to let them know if I was available to teach certain classes. There were certain classes that I had that were set. So therefore, what I mean by set, meaning, okay, is this the class you want to teach? I said, I can teach this. If I was available to teach other classes, I would let them know. And so if they had student interest for those other classes, I could teach those too. What does that mean? Well, I was teaching Homeland Security. So that was my main course. But I also told them I was available to teach constitutional law, contracts law, legal writing and research. And what ended up happening is I would get picked up for those other classes. So what would end up happening is almost every semester I would have like criminal law and Homeland Security or contract law and Homeland Security. Now, some of you are probably thinking, dude, that's a sweet gig you got going on, don't you? That's like, yeah. Here's where it became problematic. One, I had to have office hours. So that meant that typically every Friday for like an hour block, I had to be available, so if any students had any questions, they could ask me anything. A lot of times, I was very proactive about letting students reach out to me. So what would happen is I would get a lot of questions. So what would end up happening is, you know, every Monday night, I would basically start preparing for my classes, or like I think I did my classes, I take that back, Monday and Wednesday, if I remember correctly, because I like to have my hearings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it would be one of these weird things where I would have my normal work day, shift down after I was done, because my normal work day for me, I'm running my own business, so I'm usually up and moving about 6 o'clock in the morning. I would shut down shop about 4:30. My class would kick in about 6. So I would use about 5 to 5:30 to do any last minute preps. My class teaching would be from 6 to 7. If I had two classes, it would be 6 to 7 to 7 to 8. So during the entire time, I would either have two or three classes. So that would be on a Monday night, I would have classes from 6 to 8, and then, or 6 to 9 if I had three classes. And then I'd go get off there, go back into working because I would be preparing for my hearing. Because by the time after probably the first 6 to 7 months of doing this, when I didn't have a whole lot of cases, it wasn't a problem. But what was happening was I was starting to build up my practice a lot faster than I thought I was, in addition to the fact that I was also providing some legal support to the attorney who got me, my frat brother, whose firm who was there. He and his other attorney, they needed some help on some cases. So what would happen is I was basically trying to build up my own practice, help them building up their practice, and I was also having my side gig. So it was crazy. I had my body split in three different ways. So you can imagine, again, 6 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, boom, roll into about 4:30 to 5 that evening, stop, shift gears, log out of my computer, and at this time I was driving back and forth. So I was literally driving back and forth. I would come home. This is right before my wife started working for me, so this was like 3 years beforehand. So she would get home a lot of times before I would, hook me up, we'd have dinner together, and then I'd go right to the back room, and I'd be back in the back, basically teaching from 6 to 8, finish at 8 o'clock, review any of my notes for the day for both that teaching, and as well as review work for what I need to do for Tuesday. And that was my routine, literally. So you're talking literally from 6 to probably about 10, once you start factoring in that I was literally balancing doing my firm's work, somebody else's firm's work, and teaching. Now, there are going to be some of you out here saying, well, how much time were you dominated by doing other people's work when you were working with the other guys? I would say not as much as you think. You know, they paid me for the work that I was doing for them. So that was always a wonderful thing. But in the same instance, again, I basically had two side projects. So, but after a period of time, I think about the first year, my firm had got to the point where I did not have to rely upon them. So we had that one thing out of the way. But I still had the side gig of teaching. And I can tell you, it became troubling because what ended up happening was, after the first year, and I got my legs underneath me in terms of my comfort level of doing what I was doing, I was pressing more for 2 and 3 classes. So as opposed to focusing my attention on building my firm up and, you know, getting to the point where I was, you know, pushing my firm, or as my accountant once said, you need to push your firm to make the money that you need to live the lifestyle you want. I wasn't thinking like that. She told me this years later because she was on me about how I did things for a while, so I had to readjust. What was happening was, because I knew the money I was getting from teaching was predictable income and I could control that, as opposed to fees from doing legal cases and not knowing when that money was going to hit, instead of working to try to create a more predictable fee structure in terms of getting the number of cases that I needed to a particular point so that I could predict when those monies were coming in, I, Mr. Knucklehead, took it upon myself to just add in more classes. So at my peak, I can remember a good period of time, where I was literally teaching back-to-back semesters, like four semesters of 3 classes in a row. So when you're saying, well, what does that mean? That literally meant that on a Monday, not only was I working from like 6 in the morning to like 4:30 in the afternoon, I would come back, get ready at 5 o'clock, eat quickly, start preparing, and I would for all 3 classes and then teach from 6 to 9. And then I would basically, you know, and then I would spend most of my weekends grading assignments. And because you got to remember, 3 classes, each class had about 15 to 20 students per class. So let's say 20, so that's 60 assignments that I'm grading over the course of a weekend. It was just crazy. And I was trying my best to knock them out as soon as they gave them to me. So there would be times, literally, it was not uncommon for me on a Friday night, because all the students were across various time zones, that I literally would stay up late just so I could just catch them as they were coming in and grade them accordingly in real time. I was grading them in real time so that I could have more of my own free time available. Killing myself, not even realizing it. So you can imagine a situation where you're grading 60 assignments, and that basically took up almost all of my Saturday. So effectively, I was basically working off of one day, basically 6 day work weeks with basically one day off. And usually that one day wasn't a full day, because for some of those students who turned their assignments in late, they had a weird provision that the absolute drop dead was like Saturday, and you could just take off points, and then you couldn't take them in anymore after like noon on Sunday. But that meant that there was a possibility that I would just grade assignments even after then. And so I was grading all during the weekend. And that's what I did literally for 3 years. 3 years. And you're like, what the hell happened? Well, 3 years into my firm, two things happened. One, my wife started working for me. She became my office manager. And what she realized is that I had been operating within a sphere of chaos, and that the chaos was basically, I didn't have enough of a firm infrastructure in place to make work easier for me. And that's her biggest thing. She was like, you know, you've heard the phrase working smart, harder, not working smarter, not harder. I was working harder. I wasn't working smarter. So what ended up happening is that she came on board. Everything I normally was doing for myself, she freed me up in terms of time. So a lot of my screening of clients, she took care of that. Requesting medical records, she took care of that. Responding to any discovery requests, she took care of that. Doing any type of new intake, she took care of that. Speaking with courts and governmental agencies, she took care of that. She took care of all those things. So that meant I have breathing room to just be an attorney. She scheduled my hearings for me. She scheduled my depositions for me. She did all that. And so that freed me up, and she helped me with my bookkeeping, so that all that became a sense of order for me. But then the biggest part was, I had a business manager at the time who told me that he was looking at my firm, and he was literally saying, with the amount of money that you've got coming in and the low overhead that you have, there's no reason why you're not making more. And there's no reason why. And the reason why you're not making any more is because, even though, and I tried to argue this, and this is what happens when you get locked into the side hustle, I tried to argue with him that the money I was making was helping me until I could get to a particular point, and most importantly, the energy I was spending was not impacting my firm because I was working after hours. And he asked me that hard question. He said, is there anything you can do in your after hours time that would benefit your firm? And I never thought of it like that. Like, what do you mean by anything? He says, anything. Take your pick. Looking at your books, evaluating your fees, reevaluating cases, looking at your marketing structure, going to marketing events, whether they be networking or rainmaking or things like that. And I was like, well, I never thought of it like that. He said, yeah, because what's happening is every night, what's happening is that your Monday's night, your Wednesday nights, your Friday nights, time that you could be utilizing to build cases, build network, rainmake, and do all the little things in your own time, you're giving that time to someone else. And I never thought of it like that. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was giving my time to someone else in order for me to, and I convinced myself that I had to do this in order for my firm to survive. Real talk. So what did that mean for me in the long run? Well, at that particular point, the business manager turns to me and says, you got a choice. You're not going to get to where you want to go splitting your time between these two entities. You need to phase yourself out of this. And I remember when I was talking to my wife, because we were shortly after that, we went on to a road trip back home to my home state to visit my mom. And I knew it was real when I found myself literally conducting my classes from my mom's house. And my mom just watched me. I mean, Wednesday before a Thanksgiving, I was teaching for 3 hours. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And my wife turned to me afterwards and she was like, listen, real talk. Your firm is going to be successful. You're 3 years in and your firm doors are still open. But my brother, you need to shut this thing down because you cannot keep doing this at this level and get to where you want to be. So what ended up happening was I took a step and I decided I didn't quit teaching. What I did was is I told him I wanted to take a break. And the break effectively became a quit. So what I did was, as opposed to just going cold turkey, I went from that one semester when I made the decision to 2 classes the next semester, and then the final semester I did 1 class. And then I said I need to take a break in between to see. And let me tell you what was fascinating when I did that. It was like a breath of fresh air. I mean, because for the first time, my entire attention was solely on my business. My wife was working for me as my office manager. I was not, at that point in time, I had converted to a completely all virtual law firm, which means that I was doing all my work in my office, in my home, my office in my home. I didn't have to get on the road unless I was going to court. I was no longer having to deal extra side legal work for other firms. And more importantly, I wasn't grading papers. I wasn't spending hours upon hours, you know, preparing and teaching. And I also was in a position where once my brain was free, because here's the other part you don't think about, is that when you're doing a side hustle, you're literally taking your intellectual property and your mental energy and you're dedicating it to somebody else. You're basically saying, I'm going to give my energy to this particular venture and not thinking that you're taking it away from your own. It never crossed my mind to think to myself that the time that I'm giving to do this is time that I'm not giving to what I want to do, which is build my law firm up. And the reality is that I had allowed myself to be convinced that me getting this money coming in, don't get me wrong, it was comfortable money. It was money that was predictable. I felt what I was doing was easy to me. And that this was a way to ensure that the lights wouldn't get turned off, the food wouldn't run out, and the water bill would take care of. I had convinced myself that this was a means to an end. But in the course of doing this, I didn't realize that I had completely lost myself in trying to split myself into doing multiple things for multiple different entities. And the moment I severed that tie, the moment I made that transition, the moment I made the determination that I have to do this and phase out, that first semester was like a breath of fresh air. It was wonderful. I didn't know what to do with myself. And so I can tell you this to say this, and this is what I learned after that. I realized how much of my time I was giving away. Now, you're saying, well, you got paid. I was like, no. Here's the thing. The reality is, I didn't go to become an adjunct professor to become an adjunct professor. That's not what my mission was. It was supposed to be to help me until my firm got to a point. But here's some things that I didn't do. I didn't set a timeline for how long I was going to do this. I did not establish how much money my firm needed to make in order for me to stop teaching. I did not create a transition plan so that as I saw my firm doing A, then I needed to do B with this job. What I did was I allowed myself to stay in the cycle of relying on the money from that side hustle. And that side hustle, which generated, and it's, now let me pause for a second. If this would have been a side hustle, like maybe, you know, providing some community legal work or working with another kind of like as an adjunct with a, or working as kind of an of counsel for another law firm, which is a normal practice for a lot of law firms. And for those of you who are like, what's of counsel? That's effectively where you're kind of in a contract relationship. They're not paying you, but what they're basically saying is, we're going to use your expertise as part of our firm. And if any of those cases come in, they're yours. So it kind of works in a way where you're basically operating under their umbrella, and they're bringing you cases that may help you out. They may help put you in a better financial position. If that was the case, that'd be completely different, because all of that would be feeding towards benefiting my firm. But I was literally practicing law on one day, at one point of time, and then the other part of time, I was a teacher. I wasn't promoting my law firm to my students, which would be unethical for purposes of doing what I was doing. I got no other tangible benefit in the fact that I got paid. That's it. No other tangible benefit whatsoever. So that meant for every hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, how much time that I was dedicating towards them, the school was benefiting from my labor. I was getting the monetary benefit, but not the long-term benefit, especially since that this wasn't a situation where I was working for two different employers, in a sense that I was working for some employer, they were paying me, and working for them, and they were paying me. This was a situation where I needed to go and I needed to put on a position. This is a situation where I needed to realize and admit and face the hardcore fact that if I was going to make my firm go, the longer I kept working under this particular type of arrangement, the longer it was going to take me to get my firm to the point of where it needed to be. I say this for those of you who took the opportunity to listen to this long, drawn out presentation to say this. If you find yourself in a position where you're starting your own business and you get in a side gig and that gig is paying you consistent money that's predictable, check yourself and don't let yourself fall into the trap that I did, where you find yourself being so attached to the money that you have coming in that you allow it to impact and dictate you moving forward with moving your company forward. It took me 3 years to realize it after the fact. And it was so funny, kind of as an aside, I had a friend of mine who was also opening up his own law firm, and he was thinking about teaching as well. And I remember telling him everything I'm telling you now. I said, okay, first of all, I told him, I said, you're not gonna like it because it's not consistent with kind of what we do as an attorney. And I said, that's one. Two, they're gonna ask you to do some things that are probably gonna cause you to say, wait a minute, why am I dealing with this? I have my own business. But most importantly, the amount of money that they give you for the amount of effort that you give, amount of time, when you weigh that in comparison to what you get paid for which as an attorney, you're gonna say this is not worth it. And I'm not saying that it wasn't worth it for me. I'm just saying that when you balance what you could be doing with the time that you're now dedicating to prepping, teaching, answering, grading, you're gonna say to yourself, that's time that I could be used to dedicate to growing my business and making it go further. So for those of you out there who find yourself in a position where you're saying, maybe I should make this side gig a thing that I should really look at, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is always remember, figure out how long you need to do it, stick to your timeline, phase yourself out of it. And anytime you find yourself doing this longer than you anticipated, it's probably because you're relying on it more than you realize. And this may be one of those times where you sit down with somebody you know and who loves you and knows you, and you get them to come at you straight and say, listen, do I need to cut this thing off? Because trust me, they'll let you know if you are. So this way, your business doesn't suffer because you've decided to hold on to your side hustle longer than you should have. All right, everyone. Glad you tuned in. This is a little longer than I normally have them, but if this is helpful at all, please let me know. A lot of times I have people come to me and they're like, you know, you talk as an overview about things that you've had going on in your life, but you don't really drill down to specifics. So this was my first time kind of drilling down my experiences so that you can kind of see what I was going through at the time. And hopefully this helps you out as well. My name is Reeves, y'all. And as always, it's a pleasure. Again, thank you for tuning in, and hey, stay safe out there.